Moncrief on News Talk.
What a banger for our Spanish-speaking listeners. This is TV on the Radio. James Dempsey joins me in studio. That was a clip from the New Year's. What's going on here?
Okay, so it's very hard when picking a clip to pick something for our... I mean, look, I'm sure there are plenty of Spanish speakers amongst the Moncrief audience.
Hola to you all.
Right, buenas tardes. But this is a latecomer for possibly show of the year.
Oh,
all right?
Okay.
So this is a drama, a 10-part drama written and created by Rodrigo Sorogoyen, who is a very successful Spanish director. He's won various Goyas, which would be like the BAFTA, let's say, of Spain, for his feature films. He's been Oscar nominated for a short film he made, and he made this last year and it has now come to our screens this year, and it's called The New Year's, and I would say it's a little bit like Normal People meets One Day.
Okay.
Right? In the sense that there are 10 episodes that all take place on New Year's Eve across 10 years.
Okay.
So we open in New Year's 2016, where our two, our couple, Anna, played by Iria Del Rio, and Oscar, played by Francesco Carril, not that I'm trying to
Whoa.
Show off. Anyway, but he's a doctor, but a bit kind of miserable in his life. He doesn't really like what he's doing. She is a bartender who doesn't have a boyfriend, has a visa for Vancouver, but can't kind of make up her mind on what she wants to do. And they meet at a house party and then sort of fall in love. And it happens that his birthday is the 31st of December and her birthday is the 1st of January, which is a sort of sticking point, or, you know, a meet cute moment,
okay,
shall I say. So we then follow them across 10 years up to, you know, 2025. And it is a really well-made, introspective, clever, sexy Spanish drama.
Okay.
Right. Now, last week, there was a lot of talk about, I haven't seen it, this show called...
Heated Rivalry.
Yeah, right.
Girl, it's on the list.
Right.
I'm trying to find a spare moment where I can just squirrel away.
Let me tell you, people were sleeping on this one because
This is that sexy.
This is racy. This gets a little bit racy at times. I would say, if your parents have the MUBI subscription and you really want to watch it, ask them for the password rather than sitting down beside them. But... it really exploits very well its kind of conceit, right? So obviously every single episode takes place on New Year's Eve. Could I think of anything worse? I mean, 10 New Year's Eves across 1 week of
truly
viewing.
Truly hell. Hell.
Right? But it it plays very cleverly with that form. But by what I mean by that is... it doesn't, you know, obviously each year some things have happened in their lives and they have happened in the moments between their birthdays and New Year's Eve. And it does not sort of signpost exactly what happened. You as the audience are not omniscient. You have to work out kind of what has happened through little lines of dialogue here and there, interactions with their friends, things that they've said, things that are implied. You think people are together and they're not together, all that kind of stuff. So there's a really kind of enjoyable lag in the drama as you as a viewer are watching it trying to figure out exactly what has happened. Aside from that, it just is like beautifully shot, it's beautifully made, it makes you want to go spend, you know, New Year's Eve in Madrid and eat a load of grapes at midnight as they're doing from time to time. And like, it's just very polished, very smart, very clever, really well acted. Honestly, I'm a fan.
Okay, so you are saying it's like different and good enough that it's not just Normal People and One Day Again, because I just feel like we've seen it. Like, is that genre not a bit old hat at this point?
Is the genre
two hot people who can't speak to each other? Okay, cool. Play it again, Sam.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to be playing that one again for a very long time. You know, and I get where you're coming from, right? I think like how it works slightly better than One Day is the thing about what really bothered me about One Day is it was this random, like, was it St. Swithin's Day or whatever? It was like some random day in July, I think, right? Where like they didn't seem to notice that every day, like every year, major life events were happening on that day.
Yeah.
Whereas it kind of lends itself better to New Year's, because New Year's is obviously the end of 1 year, so you are reflective about the 12 months just gone, and you are also forward looking for the next 12 months to come. So it kind of works better as a date upon which to be kind of navel gazing and a bit miserable and sad, but also funny and charming. And also, like, some years your New Year's are out with friends in the club going, oh my God, what am I doing here? And some years they are at a house party and some years they're with your family and some years, for instance, imagine if this is set in 2015 in the first year, there's a COVID year obviously within that bunch. So like it is a very, it just really manages to play successfully with the form and I think it overcomes that criticism.
Okay.
Handily.
So that's the New Year's, new episodes every Wednesday on Mubi. The Abandons then, this is streaming, the first season is on Netflix now. I don't think people have liked this from what I've seen. Are you the same?
Abandon all hope.
The clue's in the name, guys. The clue's in the name. We do have a clip. We'll take a listen.
I made a promise to Angus Teller. He provided for the purchase of this land, their future. After he died, we took the hard trail west. That journey bonded us together in a way you could never understand. Delivered us here. Five abandoned souls now ken. No amount of money or misfortune can move us from this land. God gave us this home. Only God.
Right. What's going on here then? Set in Ireland or no. Irish actors? People doing Irish accents. Okay.
So it does have Irish actors, okay. But they're all doing American accents. That is Lena Headey, best known as Cersei Lannister, who I suppose spent a lot of time in Belfast while filming Game of Thrones. So maybe heard a Dublin accent here or there because that's the vibe I thought.
Okay.
I think she's actually meant to be from County Louth in the show, but whatever, I'll take it, right? So she...
Beggars can't be choosers, right? You know?
And I thought that was an okay Irish accent.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's passable, definitely. Okay. Right. In the pantheon of terrible Irish accents, like it's I thought that was fine.
Yeah.
So she, I mean, that's the only good thing about the show anyway.
Whoa,
right?
Okay. So
she plays Fiona Nolan, who is in 19th century Washington Territory out west, living on land that Gillian Anderson's Constance Van Ness wants to take over. So this is a matriarchal Western is what I'm going to say, right? And perhaps the big ticket name attached to it is Kurt Sutter. He'd be best known as the creator of Sons of Anarchy, a show I actually didn't particularly like, and The Shield, a show that I did like but actually never finished.
My husband is obsessed with The Shield.
It's good. I just didn't, never finished it.
I'm not sure. I question his taste, but okay. I'll take yours and my husband's word for
okay.
it.
So... However, one thing to bear in mind is that Kurt Sutter, although attached, wrote, directed, he also then left somewhat acrimoniously with only a couple of weeks left of photography. The rumour mill has it that people were not happy with the first episode, which had been cut to a feature length and had then been split into two episodes. And originally when this was announced, it was announced as 10 one-hour episodes, and now it's 7, anywhere between 35 minutes and an hour. So something has gone very wrong in the planning to production stage of where this is. Now, I did say there was Irish talent involved. You'll see Aisling Franciosi as Tricia Van Ness, who is Gillian Anderson's daughter. Her main attribute is playing the piano. And then Brian F. O'Byrne, who is a very successful Irish actor. He's won a Tony, he's won a BAFTA. He has a very thankless small role as kind of like one of those guys in that underwear with the flap on the bum kind of thing, you know, a wizened old man of the beard, you know, that kind of thing, right? Now, all in, the show is about Gillian Anderson's character wanting to take over the land and have ownership over this township that she has created. The main problem with the show is there are too many characters. You have the Abandons, who are essentially Lena Headey's Moppet crew of orphans that she has taken under her wing. And some of them get a bit of development, mostly in the form of Nick Robinson, who plays the love interest of Aisling Franciosi. But the rest of them get very, very little to do, to the point that you're sort of going, I actually don't know who you are. Are you one of those children or are you someone else altogether? By the end of the run, I felt like it was also nothing I had never seen before. Everything is just sort of tick the box, what you would expect it to be. There's gun shooting, there's rootin' tootin' nonsense, there's a bit of stabbing and cursing and matriarchal badinage, but all in, it's not nothing I haven't seen before. Now, the Western is going through this absolute moment, right? But we're talking neo-Westerns, and by that I mean we're talking the Tyler Sheridan universe on Paramount. That is to say, Yellowstone, Landman, Tulsa King, even to a certain degree, right? So the Western is like having its renaissance, and this is sort of a bad reminder of how kind of bad a Western can be.
That's The Abandons on Netflix, but don't bother, by all accounts. Abandon it, as James said. Okay, finally then, let's look at daddy issues. We will take a clip.
No, they're normal potatoes, aren't they? I need jacket potatoes.
What do you think jacket potatoes are?
Well, they're special potatoes, aren't they? You know, they're like, they're covered in, like, leather. Well, not leather, but, you know, something, covered in something, because they're called jacket, aren't they?
No.
Are you all right, love?
No! I'm not all right, Dad. I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant and I'm about to be homeless. And I don't know who the father is, and I don't have any women in my life to support me, and I don't want my baby growing up to be the kind of moron who thinks jacket potatoes are potatoes covered in leather.
A lot of news to be delivered over complex carbohydrates there. Amy Lou Wood, what a year she's having. Is she similarly great in this as she is in The White Lotus and everything else she's been in?
She is. Like, honestly, she did have a fantastic 2025. Now, the first season of this came out in 2024, but a second season came out this year. And on top of that, obviously, she had The White Lotus, I think, at the beginning of the year, whenever it was anyway. And then she co-created a show called The Film Club or something like that. Film Club, which aired on the BBC in October, and starred in that as well. And what she is a really good example of is like face acting, right? Like, she has, let's say, of all her attributes, she has this unique smile, is what I'm going to go with. And really, she deploys that kind of every woman quality unbelievably well here. So here she plays Gemma, who is a sort of party girl in Manchester. When we meet her, she's hooking up with some guy in an airplane toilet and finds out 2 months later that excess baggage has arrived home with her, and her flatmate moves out of her flat and she's unable to pay the rent, and in order to make ends meet, she invites her father to move in with her. Her father, who is now estranged from her mother, her father played by David Morrissey, and he's living with this kind of incel type character, a British-Irish actor named David Finn, who is absolutely fantastic in Derek. He's this mean-spirited, horrible guy. He plays him fantastically, and it's a very funny kind of odd couple comedy. Now, when I say couple here, I don't mean they're in love with each other. I just mean it's a pair living together. And the idea here is like, what is it like to, you know, move back in, not even move, to kind of share an apartment with your parent when you are now an adult and you are both kind of single people, and you're the pregnant one and you're the primary caregiver, and now your dad is like rediscovering who he is. Mm. And they explore that to great lengths. I thought the show is funny. It's fresh. She's really, really charming in this. David Morrissey is probably best known, you know, been in loads of things. He's probably best known for The Walking Dead, where he played the general. He's maybe not quite got the same comedic chops as her. He's not quite as fast or easy at playing a sitcom. But all in, like, I thought, for something, you know, to tide you over at the end of the year when it's right there, yeah, Daddy Issues has a lot going for it.
Okay, that's Daddy Issues. That's streaming on RT Player. James, thank you so much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.